Hey everyone, and welcome to At the Letters. For April 29th, 2025, I'm recording this on the morning of the Red Sox series opener here in Toronto. I'm Ben Nicholson-Smith on this episode of At the Letters, produced by Christian Ryan. Arden, as we speak, preparing for the series, he'll be working that one on the Sportsnet broadcast, so it's just me for the next little bit here. I just want to touch on a couple things coming out of the Yankees series here. Nothing too wild by any stretch, but some interesting stuff. I mean, not great result-wise for the Blue Jays, obviously losing 2 of 3 in the Bronx, but the way they got there was pretty interesting, including Kevin Gausman throwing 53 pitches in a single inning. So I want to touch on that. I want to touch on the Blue Jays offense, look ahead a little bit to the Red Sox series, which might have already begun by the time some people are listening to this. That's where things are at here. Might be one of the shortest podcasts in the history of At the Letters. We'll see. But wanted to check in regardless and touch base a little bit. So 2 of 3 lost to the Yankees in the Bronx. They came back against Evan Williams on Friday, rained out on Saturday, and then on Sunday, they lose both ends of the doubleheader. So frustrating, you know, big picture, this is not good. I mean, things are okay still, I think, to be 2 games under .500. The season hasn't gotten away from them by any stretch, but at a certain point, you've got to stop the bleeding a little bit. You've got to get things back on track, get to 500, and then make a run. And this first month of the season was always going to be a tough time to make that run and to create separation, just given the opposition that they were playing. But it has to happen sometime. It has to happen at some point before July 31st, when the trade deadline takes place. So now 1 month has passed. They have 3 months now to make that run, to start creating some separation, to prove to the front office that this group is worthy of further investment. So the clock is ticking. They're not out of time by any stretch, but they do have to make that move at a certain point. And it'll be a lot easier and a lot more realistic to accomplish that if they can start swinging the bats a little bit more. We saw Vlad Jr. hit a home run in the Bronx. We saw Anthony Santander hit one as well.
He wants. This one is drilled deep to right field. It is gone. Up into the second deck. Third home run of the season for Anthony Santander. And it was an absolute no-doubter.
So those guys were always going to be a part of any kind of offensive solutions that we're talking about for this team. But you do look at the bigger picture here, and as Blake Murphy pointed out on Twitter recently, it has been 10 games since the Blue Jays scored more than 4 runs in a game. That's a long stretch of time. That is the worst since 2001, the longest period of time since 2001, a quarter century, that the Blue Jays have gone this long without putting up 5+ runs in a game. Clearly, it's got to change. They have to find ways to score more runs. Potentially, the return of Dalton Varsho can help with that a little bit. But more and more, you know, this offense just doesn't look like a super dynamic lineup. And we have to see some change there if there is going to be the kind of run that the Blue Jays need. So that's something to monitor. That's been a season-long storyline. I do think that there's more home run power to be found when guys like Vlad Jr. and Santander are hitting closer to their potential. So I do think that this will improve to a certain extent, but it definitely hasn't so far. And facing Garrett Crochet in the series opener Tuesday, one of the best pitchers in baseball, that is going to be tough. So they need to find a way through that. You can't just sit there and point to the opposition or the schedule or the umpiring. They need to find a solution. And it hasn't happened so far. On the other side, you've got questions with the pitching depth. And I'll come back to that point a little bit later. Just want to acknowledge for now, that is a question with this team. So I think offensively, pitching depth-wise, those are the big questions. 13 and 15, it's not a good place to be by any stretch, but they're in a position where with a good week, they can be exactly where they need to be. So at some point, they have to go on that run. Now, one of the main topics that I kind of want to touch on is the Kevin Gausman decision, the Kevin Gausman inning that took place in the first game of the doubleheader in New York on Sunday. And this is a notable event.
The afternoon that started so well for Kevin Gausman ends much earlier than he would have liked. And as you can see, with a lot of frustration, the first 2 innings, he sailed through them, really. And then the third inning, His command was not as good, obviously, as it was in the first two, and he took issue with a number of pitch calls. So Gausman is.
It is extremely rare for a pitcher to throw 53 pitches in an inning, but that's what happened in the bottom of the third inning for Kevin Gausman. So wanted to look at that and see if the decision made sense, see if there's justification to be found for it, look at it through a few different angles, bounce this question off a couple different people in the industry with kind of expertise and experience around this, and see where it leads us. So Chris Conroy was the umpire behind the plate. He made a couple calls that went against Kevin Gausman. You look at the totality of that game, the umpire scorecard says that Chris Conroy actually favored the Blue Jays in that game, but specifically in that inning, you look at the pitch by pitch, there were some calls that went against Kevin Gausman and caused that inning to get really extended. I mean, it's definitely out of character for Kevin Gausman to be throwing that many pitches, for any pitcher, really, but certainly for a guy like Gausman, who's been a frontline pitcher for a long time. So it just kind of went off the rails. And you have a Jason Dominguez flyout, you have a walk, you have another walk, Gausman's kind of losing the zone here, then you get a single from Aaron Judge, then Cody Bellinger hits a sac fly. He's one out away at this point. Of course, you're going to leave him in at this point to see if he can get out of the inning and potentially still give you five, six innings in the first game of a doubleheader, where you want to be mindful of what kind of toll you're putting on the bullpen. Then you have a walk to Paul Goldschmidt. Then after that, he walks Judge Chisholm Jr. to score a run. So that's a bases loaded walk, his second walk in a row. At this point, you could definitely take him out of the game. I understand it's a doubleheader. You want to push him a little further. So then you have a nine-pitch walk to Anthony Volpe. That walks in another run. At this point, Gausman has walked three consecutive batters, and his pitch count for the inning is 44. So again, at this point, you could make a very, very strong case for taking him out of the game. That's not what the Blue Jays elected to do. You could see Pete Walker and John Schneider on the Sportsnet broadcast, pictured in that third base dugout at Yankee Stadium, Pete Walker with the clicker, kind of looking stressed out, John Schneider kind of watching this carefully. They decide to let him stay in against Austin Wells. Austin Wells hits a double. That clears the bases. You end up with three runs scoring at that point, and it was a nine-pitch at-bat. So at this point, Gausman has thrown 53 pitches in the inning. I mean, this is historic when it comes to just how many pitches were thrown. It's the most pitches in a single inning since Woody Williams, who, you know, that's the throwback to the late 90s, early 2000s Jays. It's been a long, long time since a pitcher was allowed to throw that many pitchers in a Blue Jays uniform in a single inning. And it's just really rare to see that across Major League Baseball. It does not happen. As of this recording, the expectation is that Gausman's ready to roll and ready to contribute the next time his rotation spot comes up. John Schneider explaining after the game that, you know, of course they thought that Gausman was going to get out of the inning earlier, and nine pitches in that final at-bat to Wells obviously wasn't what the Blue Jays were hoping for or expecting. So at that point, he's out of the game. So that's kind of the description of things with minimal context or analysis or editorializing, I think, to this point. So with the benefit of hindsight, looking at it a couple days later here on Tuesday, and having bounced this off of a couple people in the industry who look at pitching and look at pitching injuries and who care deeply about what kind of decisions should be made to keep pitchers healthy and to get the most out of them, while also not compromising anything medium term or long term, now we have a chance to look at that decision again. And my gut instinct looking at this is it was a mistake by John Schneider and by Pete Walker to leave Kevin Gausman in there for as long as they did. Because, you know, you could say, all right, he's got to face Goldschmidt, he's got to face Jazz Chisholm Jr. even. Once you get to the Volpe walk, and it's been a nine-pitch at-bat or nine-pitch plate appearance, Gausman's walked three in a row, he's at 44 pitches in the inning. To me, at that point, when he's at 44 pitches and three walks in a row, and his command was fading, I mean, you look at, you know, it's not like Craig Conroy cost him all those walks. Like, he was earning those walks, to me, there's no excuse for leaving Kevin Gausman in there. That's my gut instinct, is that at 44 pitches, he's got to come out because he's so important to this team. This year in the regular season, this year in the playoffs, if they find a way to get to the playoffs, Kevin Gausman will be an important part of that pitching staff. So to succeed this year, I think that you need to take more precautions. And Kevin Gausman, too, he's a contributor for you beyond 2025. He's under contract for 2026 as well, when he would be an important part of this team. Not that it's way different if you're talking about a pending free agent like Max Scherzer, who's maybe a bit more of a hired gun. But Gausman is clearly a core part of this team, and you need to do right by him and his health. Of course he's going to say he's good to go, right? Of course he's going to say, as a competitor in the third inning of the first game of a doubleheader against the Yankees, he's a smart guy. He understands the stakes of what's happening. He's not going to take himself out of that game. So that's where you have a pitching coach and a manager who, it's their job to say, you know what? We appreciate the effort, Kevin. Just didn't work out today. We don't know what this is going to look like for the bullpen. It's obviously not good, obviously not ideal, but 44 pitches, three walks in a row. To me, if not before then, but certainly at that point, they needed to take him out. And it's an error and a mistake by Pete Walker and by John Schneider not to do that. So that's my opinion. Now, that's the opinion of a writer, of a podcaster. You can take that with as many grains of salt as you want. I think it's probably more interesting for me to tell you what I've heard from people within the industry who look at this as part of their professional duties. And talking to people with other teams, yeah, they did not like this. They did not think that this was a good decision by the Blue Jays. They did not think that it was a good idea for Kevin Gausman to be left in that long to face Austin Wells. And they also think it was a mistake to proceed in this manner. And the reason that it's viewed that way is because when you look at the data for injury risk surrounding pitchers and what that looks like, the data says that there is a much heavier toll to throwing a huge number of pitches in one inning as opposed to splitting that up. So for example, if a pitcher throws 100 pitches over an 8-inning span, that is significantly more fatigue for the arm and significantly more injury risk than it would be if that pitcher threw those 100 pitches, the same number of pitches, over the course of 4 innings. So that's what the data tells major league teams as far as their research and how they would look at this. So you look at that to 53 pitches in one inning, it is considered much, much worse from the standpoint of injury prevention and from the standpoint of just managing risk and managing your pitching staff than it would be to have those 53 pitches thrown over the course of 3 innings. And the reason for that is when you have breaks between innings, you can sit down in the dugout, you can let your heart rate go down, the arm has a period of time to kind of do what it does, recover, and then after a 10-minute break, you get back out there and you continue. And this is my own interpretation of things, but I sort of view this as, and this is where I wish Arden was on because he knows a bit more about this sort of thing than me, but I don't think someone would sit down and do like a max bench press 53 reps in a row. You might do 10, but you're not going to do 53 reps in a row of your max deadlift. You're not going to do that. It's at that point, it's too much fatigue. And when Kevin Gausman is pitching against the New York Yankees, he's going max effort. He was trying to find ways to get a little bit of a breather as that game was unfolding. And this is where, you know, he actually has a lot of veteran savvy to be able to throw out the baseball. You know, when he was running to first base even and covering first base, he would toss the baseball to the side, work the pitch clock until the last second, make sure that he was giving his body a little bit of extra rest. But when you're throwing 53 pitches in a row, there's only so much rest that you're getting. And really, he needed to have a couple extended breaks there. And so there is significant risk. The Blue Jays exposed Kevin Gausman to significant unnecessary risk here in the view of the people that I've heard from. That's not good. That's not what you want to see. Now, where's that going to lead? I don't know. I mean, sometimes you take a risk and it doesn't actually backfire. And so this, hopefully for the Blue Jays, hopefully for Kevin Gausman, this is just one of those risks that it doesn't hurt them at all in the long term, and there's no consequence from that. It's possible that there will be some sort of fatigue felt by this. They might want to think about bumping him back a day. Certainly, this isn't the time to use him on regular rest and just to monitor that really carefully between his starts here, as I'm sure they'll do. And this is where I actually find that to be kind of out of character for the Blue Jays and for major league teams in this day and age. You actually don't see pitchers used in this way often. And the Blue Jays are very mindful of pitcher health. They think about this. They have people in their organization who know a lot about this and who care passionately about this. And that includes Pete Walker and John Schneider. I mean, they're not happy with the way this played out. They're not happy with the fact that Kevin Gausman threw 53 pitches. To me, though, the reason I say it's a mistake by those guys is because they had a chance at 44 when he'd walked three in a row to get him out of there. And I don't know if they see it as a mistake or not. Maybe they're happy with the process and just, you know, don't love the result. But I think the result, clearly, to throw 53 pitches in one inning and allow all those runs, no one's going to say the result was good. And I don't think the process was good either. And the people that I've heard from don't think that it's good process to let a pitcher throw 53 pitches. So it is what it is. I'm not saying that that's necessarily going to lead to anything bad for Kevin Gausman. Obviously, I hope that he has a healthy season. I hope that he has no ill effects from this. And I'm not assuming that it's necessarily going to lead somewhere bad. It's just that we talk about process and we talk about what you can kind of do to put your players in a good position here. I don't really think this is one of those times. And the Blue Jays do put their players in good position in a lot of instances. And I'm not going to sit here and catalog them all because that would be a pretty boring podcast. I think it's more interesting to kind of discuss these exceptional cases or these edge cases, the ones that stand out, the ones that haven't happened in a quarter century and, you know, are pretty unique. So that's what brings me to this as a talking point. I'm not sitting here trying to dunk on the Blue Jays or say that Pete Walker doesn't know what he's talking about, because they do know what they're talking about. I just think that in spite of that knowledge, in spite of that expertise, they made a mistake on the weekend and they let Gausman stay in that game too long. So I'll leave it there for now. Don't know where it leads, but I will come back in a second here and discuss what's next for the Blue Jays, look at the Red Sox a little bit, Dalton Varsho returning, and get back to that question of rotation depth when we continue on At the Letters. We're back on At the Letters. Just a couple more quick notes here before stepping aside for the week and seeing what happens at Rogers Center. Red Sox, Guardians, before the Blue Jays head out on a West Coast road trip to Anaheim and Seattle. So it's a chance right here playing at home to gain some ground. And starts against the Red Sox, where you have Garrett Crochet. That's really tough. The Red Sox are a good team. They haven't been a great team so far, but they certainly are a good team. They have some pitching coming back. Bayo already made his return. Giolito expected to pitch against the Blue Jays. So this is a pretty good team. And the Blue Jays will need, like I said before, to find some offense. And Dalton Varsho coming back is a really good step in the right direction for the Jays. We'll see him in there. The Blue Jays, it sound like, expect to use Anthony Santander in the outfield regularly. Of course, George Springer. By the time you listen to this, you'll know what the corresponding roster move was for Dalton Varsho in all likelihood. Could see that being Alan Roden, as Arden and I talked about last week. Could also be Nathan Lucas. We'll see what way they go. But either way, to get Varsho back, that helps the pitching staff. If you have his defense out there, that is a boost. We've seen that for the last couple of years. And then maybe a little bit of left-handed power, someone who can run into a couple. That's a good thing. Second thing with this series is what happens on Wednesday when the Blue Jays need a fifth starting pitcher. And this is the spot that Max Scherzer occupied coming out of spring training. Then you had, of course, Easton Lucas in there for two really good starts, two really rough starts, and now they have to backfill. So it could be a combination of guys. Is it a Paxton Schultz? It could be some sort of bullpen game. Won't be Jake Bloss. He threw on Sunday. Continues to improve and continues to show some signs of progress at AAA. So that's a really good thing, because if he continues doing this, he could be an option for the Blue Jays this season. And they'll need him. If he can continue, there will be chances for Jake Bloss to come back and contribute. But In the meantime, they don't really have an answer right there. We saw them claim Casey Lawrence. So that's a familiar face, someone who's been around in the Blue Jays organization dating back 10 plus years. He's more length, get the ball across the plate, pitch to contact. He's not overpowering. This is someone, when you look at the baseball savant page, you're seeing a lot of blue. You are not seeing someone who's overpowering hitters. That's why he was on waivers. But there is value in just having someone who can pitch when you're up a lot, down a lot. And it tells you something about just where the Blue Jays are at from a rotation depth standpoint. And this is something that Arden and I have talked about a lot in the course of the early part of the season and going back to spring training. I think people who listen to this podcast know that I look at the pitching depth of this organization as something of a concern when you're trying to compete every single night and you have kind of no answer to step into that number five spot. It's tough. And again, I know the Blue Jays aren't alone in this. The Orioles, they're certainly going through it too. And there are competitive teams out there that have real questions on their pitching staff. But for a team that's not exactly overpowering you on offense, you kind of need the pitching to line up. And so that is a real question for the Blue Jays. I think you could certainly do worse than tossing Paxton Schultz out there against hitters who haven't seen him before in tandem, potentially with some other pitchers, to gain platoon advantages. Probably want a lefty in the mix against the Red Sox, who have a lot of left-handed hitters on that team who figure prominently into their offense, but continues to be a question. Rotation depth, I think that's one of the big, you know, when I look forward for the Blue Jays, set aside the 13 and 15, but just looking forward for this team, I do think that finding some sort of stability with the number five spot, and then if any other starter goes down, you know, what's the next layer? So that's a question for me. How they navigate that will be really interesting. Curious to see where that goes. So that's the latest with the Major League team. You got Dalton Varsho coming back. Some questions in the rotation. Certainly an interesting 53-pitch inning by Kevin Gausman. One that, look, I'm not saying the sky is falling, the franchise is you know, in chaos, everyone needs to be fired. It's not what I'm trying to say here. I do think it was a mistake if we're looking at it. And now it's on to the next. And there will be lots of time for the Blue Jays to make good decisions and for the Blue Jays to overcome their current place in things, which is more middle of the pack than front of the pack. So we'll see where that leads. But I do want to point out to one really positive development within this organization that's happening in Vancouver with Arjun Namala.
One out. Here is Arjun Namala, the shortstop. He homered in last night's game. Threw a deal's fastball hit of the air to dead center. That is going, and that is way up into the net. Arjun Namala, he has now homered in three straight games in this series. And for Namala, that's number five.
And just 19 years old. This is their first-round pick from 2023. So just less than a couple years into his professional baseball career. Still a teenager. He's got five home runs at high A. He is OPSing 889, hitting 290. So these are big steps for someone at that age to be making. This is the kind of trajectory that the Blue Jays would have wanted to see from him when they drafted him that high a couple years ago. So it's a big deal. He's got a long way to go because you got to succeed in the upper minors. There are speed of the game things you have to figure out. There are judgment plays that he's got to figure out. Certainly preparation. They probably want to see him, you know, continue to mature and develop physically as he tries to make the most of his ability and potentially add strength to hit the ball even harder. But these results are really good. This is the kind of pathway that they would have ideally wanted to see from Arjun Namala. So long way to go, as you would expect for anyone drafted that young, drafted when he was just 17 years old a couple seasons ago, but he's on a good track, and that is going to be a story worth watching. So we'll keep track of that. We'll keep track of everything going on with the Major League team, of course, and that's it. I'm going to leave it there. So thank you so much for listening this week. No, it was a short one, but lots more intrigue ahead. Arden will be back. Look for him on the broadcast. Look for continued coverage of the Blue Jays at sportsnet.ca by myself and Shai Davidi and David Singh. We'll have lots coming your way on that front. And look, in the meantime, enjoy the homestand. Keep listening to the pod. We appreciate the interest, the attention, and we will be back soon with another episode of At the Letters, produced by Christian Ryan.